Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
It's good to be home. I got some much needed time this past August to rest a little bit and to be with my family. And last weekend was my first weekend back, but this is the first weekend getting to teach. And feel a sense of just gratitude for these moments that we get together. And so I want to invite you to stand to your feet if you're willing and able for the reading of the word. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 15. We're going to be reading one verse together tonight, verse 13. And if you are a guest with us this evening, we just want to say thank you for being here. These are the moments where we come around the scriptures. We believe that they are relevant for us today. And so we take moments each and every week to come around the scriptures to learn more about who God is and who Jesus is and how are we called to respond to the saving message of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to lean into tonight. So let's begin to read this together. Words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, come now. Work on our hearts, mend our hearts, convict our hearts, and lead us to become more the men and women that you have created us to be. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated this evening. So I mentioned that I got some time in August to be with my family and to just spend some time resting and relaxing and learning and growing. And one of the opportunities that I had was to get to go to a preaching conference with a couple pastors out in Colorado. And one of them wasn't as familiar with, but one of them is a gentleman named John Tyson who leads a church out in New York City. I've been following his church for a really long time. I love his work, have been deeply impacted by his books. A group of young fathers in our church, we went through one of them a couple years ago called The Intentional Father. Dads, if you're looking for something to read to get you prepared for fatherhood or just to lead young men, would really give that book a look at. And it was an impactful time for me. It was a powerful time for me. It was over a few periods of days, just kind of getting a deep sense of maybe what God is putting on my heart. And it was a lot of information. Just remember, I got a notebook where I'm just scribbling as fast as I possibly can to take in all of the content. And, it felt like my heart was trying to keep up with what the Spirit of God was wanting to deposit to me. And it was beautiful and it was painful. It was wonderful. At times, it was a bit scary. And at the final session, during the kind of the close of the conference, the worship team began to lead us into worship for one more time. And then the two gentlemen who were leading the conference, they started to walk around the room and just praying over people. And John Tyson came up and he laid his hand on my shoulder and he began to pray for me. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I wanted him to pray for. There's a lot of things I would have loved to have heard him say. You're gonna do incredible things for the kingdom of God, and just, give me a prophetic word or something. Like, that's what I'm just ready for. So I'm just sitting there, I'm just ready to receive what it is that he's gonna say. And then, he's an Australian, so he's got this really cool Australian accent, and he simply just has his hand on my shoulder and he says, "Lord, restore to this man his joy." It's like, really? Of all the things, I said, I was like, oh my gosh, he thinks I'm sad. Like, I was so devastated. Like, come on, give me something else. And so I'm in the moment and I'm trying to receive what the Spirit of God might be doing. So I'm just, okay, and he's just going on, but it's all kind of in the same kind of vein. And then I eventually just kind of sat there and I just had this realization come to mind. He's not wrong. that I have lost, or at least at that moment, had lost some of my joy. Now, it's easy to compile a list of reasons as to why that might be. I mean, look at what is taking place in our world. Look at what is taking place in our nation. See, there's not a lot of circumstantial evidence to support feelings of overwhelming joy. It seems right now that no matter how hard we try to sneak by chaos and pain, they seem to keep finding us. As the sun goes down on each day and it rises the next, there they are, waiting for us in some form or another. Wars, rumors of wars, economic instability, the rising cost of living, political polarization, or any number of the more personal things that are taking place, even in this room right now. Maybe it's a wayward child that is heavy on your heart today. A spouse who is struggling or caught in addiction. Maybe for you it's an unexpected divorce or a diagnosis. The list could go on. And then you think about the last number of weeks. You think about this Catholic elementary school that had the shooting. You think about that young Ukrainian refugee woman boarding the train, only to then moments later to be stabbed to death. You think about the shooting in Colorado just a couple days ago. And then yes, as we have already said, you think about the shooting and the death of Charlie Kirk. You know, it's so interesting today in our day that we live in, because we know we have these silly little devices, and it's wild that like our eyes get to see things that years ago we would have never got to see. Like Wednesday, I open up my phone and I legitimately just think I'm watching another video of Charlie Kirk sharing at some university, and then I watch him get shot. It's heavy. I mean, this is a brother in Christ. This is someone who, even this morning, a gentleman from our church, he called me and he told me over the phone, the reason why I started attending Calvary Community Church and gave my life to Jesus was first and foremost because I was inspired by Charlie Kirk. So there's like a collective weight in which we all feel with what is taking place right now. There's this sadness going on. And I think in one way or another, if we're all honest with ourselves, there is like a depletion of joy that I think we feel. A collective heaviness of the struggle in trying to comprehend all that is taking place in our world. And if I can get really honest with you, do you know what it feels like? It feels like hell is being unleashed on earth. That we are in real time seeing manifestation of the demonic. And it's hard for us to grapple with that. It's hard for us to even understand that. But I think we have to begin to open our eyes to realize that there is something taking place right now in our world, and we have to wake up to it. And through all of my tears and all of my lament over the last number of days, all the time spending in prayer and scripture, even over the last number of weeks thinking about this weekend, this is something that the Lord has had to remind me, and I hope to remind us tonight, that joy is restored in hope. The Apostle Paul would say like this to the church in Rome, Romans 12 verse 12, in one translation would say, be joyful because you have hope. Now, just right off the tongue, that's hard to hear and doesn't make sense. But we're gonna sit in this a bit together tonight. See, the Apostle Paul, roughly 46 times in his letters in the New Testament, uses this word hope, 13 of which are in his letter to the church in Rome. Now, the book of Romans is a thick, richly dense theological work. And it's written to a group of Christians who are dealing with persecution that comes when you attempt to live faithfully to Jesus in a pagan society. And so as Paul gets nearer to the end of his letter to this church, he offers them this prayer, the prayer that we read at the very beginning of our time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So for the past number of weeks, I've been meditating on those verses, or at least that one verse. I've been writing it down over and over in my journal, digesting it kind of one idea after another. He begins by that statement, may the God of hope. Now, Paul's basis for such a claim seems to at least be in part connected to a statement that he makes earlier in his letter in verses 4, where he says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So the Christian's hope seems to be ultimately found in the story of the God of hope that we read in the scriptures, which means that if we want a basis for the hope in which we have to know the story of the God of the scriptures. We have to be able to go to the very beginning of this book and begin to see the creation of the world, that God created the heavens and the earth, that he spoke over the chaotic waters and he brought forth order. And he spoke things into existence, including humanity. And his deepest drive and desire was to see his image bearers begin to reflect his image throughout the world that he had created, to go forth and to multiply, to reflect his beauty and his grace and his majesty, to partner with God in the work that he was going to be doing. That was the vision, that was their vocation. But it demanded trust. It demanded that they would trust God's definition of what is good and what is evil. And we know how the story goes. We know that humanity fails. We know that we decided in our own strength that we would be the ones to determine what is right and what is wrong. And then the rest of this story is just story after story of God being just so steadfast in the promise that he makes in Genesis 3:15, where he said that one day there will be one who would come who would make things right. And so all throughout this story, it just over and over is this redemptive nature of God, this grace of God, this forgiveness of God, at time, this judgment of God. And ultimately it culminates when this person comes onto the scene, God in flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, who showed us as human beings what it actually meant to be a true human, to be filled with love and joy and hope and peace and self-control. And then that Jesus, God in flesh, would do what none of us would be able to do, and that is to offer up our lives as a sacrifice on a cross to pay for the penalty of sin. See, the wages of sin is death. That as human beings, because of the wages of sin, we do deserve death. But God in his grace and his mercy sent Jesus to pay the price for us. And because of that, those who accept that free gift of Jesus' salvation, we then are covered by the blood of Jesus, and we get to enter into this everlasting commitment and relationship with God that will expand into eternity. And so when Paul says, may the God of hope, that hope, all of this story is crammed into that four-letter word, hope. That is the story of the hope in which that we have. So Paul pulling from all of the encouragement in the scriptures around this idea of hope, he prays that prayer. May the God of hope do what? Fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him. So what? So that you may overflow in hope. I don't know about you, but I desire that experience. I want to overflow with hope. I want to, even in the midst of the darkest of times, to overflow with the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I want to overflow with peace. I want to overflow with joy. But what if that is not your experience? What if even as a follower of the way of Jesus, you are lacking in hope, or you're struggling with peace, or you're struggling to feel a sense of joy. See, we need to be honest with where we are at today, because the truth is this: if you are feeling a diminishing in your hope right now, you are not alone. You know, in fact, last year, Pew Research did a study, and they found that less than half of religiously affiliated adults in the U.S., about 47%, had felt hopeful in that week. What I found really interesting is that is only 12% higher than atheist. Now, you would imagine that those who believe in God would have a little bit more of a higher percentage of hopefulness, but that's actually not what the study showed. So maybe the question would ask, what's missing? What's not being integrated into our soul? See, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I think it's that last phrase that unlocks this hope. It unlocks a believer's hope. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me say it like this: we right now in this time as the church need a release of the Spirit's power. And what supports the release of power from the Holy Spirit? I would say like this: it is intimacy with the God of hope. And this, my friends, I believe is one of our great struggles, because the day in which we live is set up to destroy your intimacy with God. The distractions, the expectations on you, whether that's put on by yourself or by your family or by your work, just the obsession of wealth that we have, particularly in this country. There are so many things that are just vying for our attention, and they crush our intimacy with God. But see, God desires intimacy with you. And he wants to desire this intimacy for his church, so that through the power of his Spirit, he can fill us with joy and peace and help us to overflow with hope that extends out into the world. But see, our modern day makes that so difficult. I mean, at like the bedrock of like the psyche in our minds is this whole idea of this enlightenment belief that the sacred and the secular, that they must be divided. See, back in the 1700s, something subtle but massive took place. There was a shift in the mind of Westerners. Faith, that once was seen as central to public life and who we were together, got pushed to the sidelines. So what used to shape our communities, our law, culture, public values, slowly got reduced to something that was personal, private, and internal. So religion kind of became more of a personal preference than something true and good and beautiful for everyone. And that shift has quietly pulled the rug out from under biblical faith. It's not just something that we believe in our hearts, but it's meant to be something that shapes the world around us. And so this kind of two-tier story that we live in, this temptation to kind of shift your pursuit of Jesus to the sidelines, it begins to cause a deep sense of dysfunction in us as believers. See, when your faith in God, who is your true hope, is relegated to the peripheral of your life, you are bound to lose hope. And you are bound by the temptation to then seek after hope in the material and in the temporal, in our wealth, in our health, in our politics, in our safety and security. Things that we oftentimes feel an illusion of control over, but the reality is we have very little, if any. But see, maybe even worse, that when our faith is laid to left to kind of fade into the background of our life, intimacy with the Father also fades. And when intimacy fades, hope diminishes to despair. Joy dissolves into sadness, and peace crumbles into anxiety. And what happens is we suffer, and our families suffer, and the church suffers, and the world suffers, and the enemy of our soul, Satan, rejoices. So this all leads to what I think might be one of God's many invitations to his church today. That if hope in Jesus and his kingdom has been relegated to the sidelines of our life, it is time to repent and bring it back into central view. For many in the church today, our central view, our main focus has become a contested and crowded space. But enough is enough. The idols of the land and their counterfeit offerings of hope must be laid bare, and Christ and his kingdom must gain exclusive access and the right to become your central view, your chief aim, the telos of your life. Our hope, church, is not in the systems of this world, but in the Savior of the world named Jesus Christ. It is not in a fragile nation state, but in an eternal kingdom called the kingdom of God. It is not a hope that is powered by our ability to control our experiences, but it is a hope powered by the Holy Spirit. And it is not based on naive optimism, but an unflinching confidence in God's authority and his power to fulfill what he said he would do. And it's not a hope based upon anything I have done or you have done, but a hope that is established and secure in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right-hand throne of the Father. So the time has come for us, church, to be men and women who know intimately the God of hope in order to become people who bring hope into a dark world. We need to become people, the types of people that Peter talks about in one of his epistle letters, where he says that you should always be prepared to answer to anyone who asks of you about the hope that is within you. I want that. I want such an overflowing hope in me that people around me would simply look and say, you've got to tell me about the hope that is within you. Because I live in the same place as you. I'm on the same social media platforms as you. I've seen the same things that you have. I have watched, I have understood, I'm dealing with the same challenges, yet you have a different countenance about yourself. That's the hope that we're talking about. And that, my friends, is a hope that can change the world. Now, the following that I'm going to say is a variation of something that I say all of the time, and I don't care, because I'm just gonna keep on saying it, because we as a church need to hear it. A hope that changes the world will not be one possessed by a church that is obsessed with escaping the world. The hope we have as followers of the way of Jesus, it isn't just about getting to heaven when we die. Yes, one day God is going to make all things new. There will be new heavens, there will be new earth. He is going to undo all that is decayed, all the corruption, all of the death. One day his love and his grace and his power and his beauty will flood the whole world, every square inch of it. But we, who are part of his church in the here and the now, we get a head start on that glorious future. We get to live in such a way that unravels the decay and the corruption around us. We get to reflect in the here and the now his grace and his beauty, his power and his majesty into every corner of the earth. See, the Christian hope is not a wait for only hope, but an experiencing a new kind of hope, a giving our lives to change type of hope, a rescue type of hope, a conviction type of hope, one that transforms and redeems the present world for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the type of hope that we must hold on to. That's the type of hope that must permeate every aspect of who we are. It's a type of hope that is willing to admit when things have crowded that center space. And we would do the intentional work of working alongside God to remove those things so that we can see him clearly in what it is that he wants to do. Pastor Ray and I read a book this summer, and it has a lot of beautiful things in it, but this stuck out to me. From the book, Jesus and the Powers, look around. We live in interesting times, dire times, dangerous times, tragic and terrible times. What will you do with your life? Give it over into staring into a luminous screen or do something that echoes into God's new creation? The world needs kingdom-minded Christians now more than ever. Church, what will you do with your life? Are you satisfied with living in a two-tiered story where you have allowed your walk with Jesus to sit on the sidelines of your life as you've gotten about the things that you've wanted to do? And then you see all of the pain and the sorrow in our world, and you know what the solution is, yet you have not given your life to live into that solution to be an example for those around you. That, my friends, is not a worthy way to live life. So my prayer for us as a church is that through intimacy with the Father, that our hearts would be set on fire and we would be bold and courageous to share the hope-filled message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what must take place in this time. And so what that means is that we are going to have to, again, ponder the parts in which our lives need to go. There are things that we need to repent of. There are things that we need to confess of. There are ways in which that we are adding to the destruction to the world, that we are adding to the chaos, because we have to represent and reflect Jesus beautifully. So Christian, what will you do with your life? Will you allow the God of hope through the power of his Holy Spirit to take over all of who you are and to begin to fill you with joy and to fill you with peace and to overwhelm you with his hope? The world is desperate for hope right now. I don't know if what we saw over the last number of weeks is, was that just kind of a weird blip on the radar where just so many things happened? Is there gonna be more? I have no idea. But it's not time for the church to sit on their hands, I'll tell you that much. It is not time for us to sit and be comfortable. It is not time to, when you think about your walk with Jesus, if it simply means you come into this room, you sing three songs, you listen to a halfway decent TED talk for Jesus, and then you leave, you are missing it. You are missing an opportunity to engage and to connect with and to have an intimacy with God so that he can empower you to be his representative in the world today. Some of us in this room who are Christians, people that you work with don't know you're a Christian. That's a problem. I'm not trying to be mean, but I also kind of don't care anymore. Honestly, I just don't. Because we do not have time to just sit back and do nothing. We have to go into the heavenly realms and just go after what is taking place right now. And so let's just go. And let's burn with a fire, let's burn with a passion, and let's go after it. Now, if you're in this room and you somehow stumbled into this place and you've never once professed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, this is your time. This is your moment. That hope that you are longing for, that deep ache in your soul, that there is something missing. What you are missing is intimacy with the Father through the Son, Jesus, who died on a cross for your sins. He defeated death, he forgave our sins, and then he welcomes us back into our heavenly vocation to partner with him. That's what you have to look forward to. And so if that's you tonight, make that decision. Just simply, even in your seat right now, just, I profess with my mouth that I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in his work on the cross. I believe that he forgave me of my sins, and I want to give my life to following after his way. And if you make that decision tonight, welcome to the new family of God. We ain't perfect. And you'll learn that real quick. But we are passionately pursuing becoming the men and women that God has created us to become. And we are honored to get to have you be part of what God is doing. So here's what I want to do. I want to invite everyone, if you are able and willing, just to stand to your feet. Now, we're going to worship together in just a moment. And when I say we're going to worship together, I want us to lean in. The song that we're gonna sing, we perfectly picked the song what we know you all love to sing. And so we're expecting for you to lean in tonight. We're gonna sing loud. We're gonna sing with passion. We're gonna just be just so willing. And this song is beautiful because it speaks to the story in which we believe. So allow your hope to be built up tonight. But before we do, we're gonna pray. And I just think, what better way to close out this moment, this whole idea of this prayer being spoken over to this community, right? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was said to a community. So I think the best way to respond to that would be to pray as a community. So here's what you're gonna do. Just in little pockets of people around you, just start to pray. And you can pray over what you're experiencing right now. You can pray over what's on your mind. You can pray over what's going on. I don't care what you pray for, but you just get to pray because we get to do that. Isn't that incredible? So right now, just begin to pray. Turn to just a couple. Go ahead. Just start to pray. And then we're gonna start to sing in just a few moments and we're gonna worship. But let's pray together tonight.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.